in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Hello, kings and queens and in-between sinners, saints, and I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another Daddyhood episode of Yash Jesus. I'm Danny Francesi, and as always, I'm here with my bestie,
the dad bod, Azariah Southworth.
Here at Yash Jesus, we believe
Jesus remained a bachelor.
And Jesus came out of the tomb.
And God is really into daddyhood, like, really. Into it.
Speaking of really into daddies, Colton Underwood is joining us today on the show, and we'll get right back to that after this praise report and prayer request segment. Now, this is the portion of our show where if you have something that you need some prayer for, let us know, and we will pray for you on the show. And our Yash Jesuits, we ask you to pray along with us. And if you have a little something you want to hallelujah about, let us know too, and we'll hallelujah along with you. But we're going to start with a prayer request. We have somebody in need. Who is it, Azzy?
Yeah, this actually comes to us from our very own sugar daddy, Nathaniel.
Oh, Nathaniel.
So Nathaniel says, "Hi, Yes Jesus family. I am asking for prayers. I am steadily moving towards surgery. I have been becoming increasingly anxious about it. They will be removing a large mass on the left side of my thyroid. The pre-op biopsy and tests say it is benign, but they will not know for sure until they remove and test the whole thing. I know that my Jesus has wrapped me in their arms, but I'm having a difficult time finding peace and comfort right now. I'm so thankful to know I have a place and people like my Yes Jesus family that I can ask to uplift me in this time of uncertainty in my life." And Nathaniel, yes, you do. We are wrapping our arms around you right now. We're hanging out with you in spirit and just letting
you know. Yeah, we are going to have you in our thoughts for sure, because honestly, you have to just have trust and just calm. There's nothing that being worried right now is going to do to help your situation. In fact, it can only worsen it. So just try to relax and trust in the precision of your surgeons. And we are going to be praying that everything happens smoothly and happens well for you. We love you, Sugar Daddy Nathaniel. Thank you for always being there for us. And we have a praise report. This praise report comes to us from Kelly. And this came from my social media. Kelly gives praise for their cat. I mean, don't we just love our little lovely creatures, our pets?
Yes. I have two of my little own. So, Kelly, I join you in that praise.
And R.I.P. my fish, Beth, who I always think about. No, it's so funny that no one would think that a fish, you could really love a fish. I loved Beth, my fish. And I think about her sometimes. We went through a lot together. But yeah, we just love the little love that we get from a loved one. But we're going to hear about different kinds of little loved ones in the room with Daddyhood coming up with Colton Underwood right after this.
What is the tea, honeybee? It's me, Candy Muse, and you are listening to Yash Jesus.
All right, we are back with our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Jeremiah 29:11. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." You hear that, Nathaniel? Jeremiah 29:11. That's for you today.
Well, we have a really great guest here on Yes Jesus today. We have Colton Underwood. Colton Underwood is a handsome American TV personality. He was literally the handsome bachelor, a former handsome NFL player, a handsome activist, handsome entrepreneur, and a New York Times best-selling handsome author. How are you?
Am I handsome? Thank you.
I think so. I didn't write this. I'm just reading the copy.
But it was so sweet. Well, whoever wrote the copy needs to follow me everywhere I go. So that's great.
Since we're here, I'll admit it was me. Now that we are on video, I can confirm you are indeed handsome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Usually it's Azzy that we have to like calm down from like flirting with the guests. It was a problem at the beginning.
Well, Danny, it's been twice this week now, so we might need to
I'm here for it. How are you? I'm so excited to join you both.
Yeah, welcome to Yes Jesus. Cool. And just to start us out and let our audience know, for those who don't know, you had a dramatic coming out. You were the bachelor. And you can follow, for those who are listening, you can follow all of the drama on the Netflix show called Coming Out Colton, which I highly recommend. And now you are out with a new podcast, and it's called Daddyhood. And
Daddyhood.
Daddyhood is going to follow you as you explore your plan to parenthood and everything that you and your husband, Jordan Brown Underwood, have learned as they become first time fathers. So welcome to Yes, Jesus. We're so excited to dive into this conversation with you. There's so much to talk about, but we want to let you know that we are all about the daddies here at Yes, Jesus. We even go to a church that was founded by leather daddies. but tell us about daddyhood.
So Daddyhood for me is the concept and idea started like 2 years ago. My husband and I were pursuing building our family, and we really had no clue where to start. There's not a lot of people who openly talk about it, especially in our community. I think, a lot of people choose to take more of the non-traditional route, and they don't want to, build their families and or they just build their families in a different way with chosen family and all sorts of beautiful different options that are out there. So we wanted to navigate surrogacy, and there's just not a lot of information for same-sex couples. So I, was fortunate and blessed enough that my agent sort of connected me with the right doctor, and then, this sort of tight-knit community just sort of built what is essentially our fertility team to help us go into this. And I was like, someone needs to talk about this because nobody's talking about it. So that's where the concept for Daddyhood came to be. And then just along the way, there was a lot of ups and downs. I was trying to really navigate, how much do I share? I sort of had already been through it, right? Like between the Bachelor franchise and the Netflix show, how much of my life can I keep like giving away? But this is such an important, thing that I feel like isn't really represented in our community. And it took me a long time to sort of find my lane within our LGBTQ plus community, where I was like, I felt like the new kid on playground on recess, and nobody really wanted to like play with me or didn't really know how to treat me when I first came out. So sort of finding my own lane and finding my own, parts of our community has been really rewarding and fun, worth it, worth every single second of everything I've been through. So I'm proud of Daddyhood. I'm excited for where we're going to go with it. And it's fun to do.
Well, I just want to say you and your husband are certainly goals. I mean, it was amazing to watch your journey and watch the struggle that you went through, and then to see you guys fall in love was so awesome. I know you feel like sharing your life sometimes can probably be like a little heavy to give so much, like as you said, away, but what you're really giving people hope. You're giving people a storyline that we didn't expect. I mean, a lot of times I think queer people are often othered. And you kind of do fit. I mean, you were the bachelor, right? The whole point of being the bachelor is that you are like you fit right in the thing that like all these people are gonna like potentially fall in love with you in such a short amount of time based on not even knowing you. And you didn't really know yourself. And to us, that was like so incredible to watch as a nation, because it was like seeing somebody who we thought that because we didn't look like you or have that privilege or have those things that those were the reasons we were unhappy. And to see you try to find your way and land in such a good place was, I think, really comforting for a lot of people to see.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it took, I mean, essentially all the Netflix show was my journey to self-love and like working through like these new parts of who I am and how I'm gonna process it and loving myself first. And then, the bonus on top was I was not looking for a relationship, and everybody after that show was just like, go date and go have fun and have lots of sex. And I meet Jordan and it was game over. I mean, he was exactly what I was looking for and needed in my life.
Coming out, Colton, was really your introduction to the LGBT community and maybe the LGBTQ experience in general. It's something that we all go through, but your show sort of put it all together for you. What did you really learn about the LGBTQ plus community that really surprised you?
There was a lot that I was sort of just thrown into the deep end. And also just like, I think a lot of people, just because I had the platform of Netflix, expected me to have it all figured out by the time the show launched. And that was not the case. Like, I had a lot of history to learn. I had a lot to learn about myself, where I, fit in the community even, just because, I had this expectation that like, oh, I'm gonna come out and I could break free from all these labels. And then I come out and they like immediately are like, Are you a jock? Are you a dad? Like putting me in five or six more, you know, different categories and labels.
Which tribe do you belong to?
I was like, wait, what is going on here? I was like, I thought this was like a label-less community. And now I'm like, I have even more labels attached to me. So I was like, I was sort of in over my head. I was swimming and I didn't really have a lot of queer people in my life at the time. But since then, I'm like, I love the friend group that I have. I love all of the different social circles that I'm in. Just it's the most diverse, loving, warming groups of people. And it's beautiful.
In the Coming Out Colton documentary, one of the big themes was your faith. And you talk openly about your faith, your Catholic upbringing. And in the documentary, you visited a couple churches and you made friends with a few ministers. I'm curious, Colton, because I know coming out, there's a deconstruction that happens with your faith. So yeah. I'm curious where you're at with your faith now. And do you go to church now? And what's that like for you?
Yeah, I am a Christian. I still identify as a Christian man. I do not attend structured and organized religion. That's just sort of like what my breakthrough was, is I don't want the pressure and I don't want people to feel like they are holier and better than me because they worship in a building versus me on a walk or a hike, or just the times that I find my peace to pray to God and have my faith and carry that with me, isn't defined by a building, isn't defined by a day, isn't defined by an hour. And it used to be. And I think my relationship was very conditional, in regards to my faith and with my relationship with God. And it's not like that anymore. And also I find myself like praying when I don't need things anymore. Like it's such a refreshing feeling when you don't have to end the prayer with, and help me navigate my sexuality, or help me not be gay. Like that was a common sentence that was wrapping up all of my prayer. And it's nice not to be able to do that anymore.
It's nice to be in a state of gratitude too. Like
it's a completely different perspective now. And my whole relationship with my faith has changed.
I believe that our scripture of the day is actually tattooed on your wrist. That's right.
Yeah. 29:11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust in the plans, plans not to harm, but plans for prosper. I think, you know, all along I knew I was going to be on this journey one way or another. And, you know, mine ended up being very dramatic and having to go through what I went through. You know, I obviously could have handled a lot of things differently, but I had to go on the path that I had to go on. And there's a certain level of trust that I didn't always have and know that I was all going to lead me to this moment. But like, I stayed as true as possible. And when I tried to get off that path, there was ways of humbling me very quickly. And I think that's just like the perspective that I have. It's like that appreciation and that guidance was needed.
Yeah. For a lot of people who haven't come out yet, their faith is often a big reason why they don't come out, because they haven't reconciled the big questions that they have. You know, does God approve this? Will God still accept me? Will my faith community still accept me? I'm curious, was there something, a moment, a book, a conversation, a person in your life that really broke through to you and allow you to know that you know that you know that God loves me just as I am?
Yeah, I think, you know, just working through not only with everybody involved with the Netflix show, like, I think what was special with that there was obviously a lot behind the scenes that led in. You don't just all of a sudden have cameras following you as you're coming out. Like there was a whole thing that, you know, like to even set that show up, like, you know, the two executive producers from Jeff Jenkins Productions, JJP and Three Ball, were working with me, and like they sort of knew, but they weren't like the type to like call me out on it. But they sat back, and then as they saw things unfolding, they were like, hey, we'd like to help you. And the reason why I say that is because they really allowed me to stay true to my faith in a very authentic way. I think a lot of people, you know, like you said, there's like a deconstruction process that you go through, and it's very easy for a lot of people in our community to really shame and shut off and just get it out of their lives and moving on, and also just like cast judgment on people who do stay in it. Which was a true fear of mine. I remember working through therapy, and I said to my therapist, I said, I'm really nervous about doing this because, one, I'm going to alienate my Christian friends by being out and saying I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community. And then two, I'm really nervous about alienating the LGBTQ plus community by saying I'm a Christian man and then being like, how dare you conform to, you know, the religion and like,
I like to say that being a Christian makes me be a better gay and being gay makes me a better Christian, because it's like being, gay, I'm compassionate to all kinds of people from all over and everything. And I think that's the true Christian way, is to just love everything and realize that love is love, you know? And I think that the gay community could use a little more grace, you know, and a lot, and some other things, lessons that we can learn from there, in my opinion. So I think it's nice to see, that balance happen. What I want to ask you about, though, on the last episode of Coming Out Colton, you visited with Reverend Nicole Garcia. Now, we love her. And Ross is actually the one, our freaking Deacon Ross Murray is actually the one who made the producers of Coming Out Colton set up this visit that you had, because he knows how good she is. And she kicked your ass in the most loving and Christian way. And what was your time like with her?
Oh, I was so intimidated. That was my first experience with anybody in our trans community. So like that, like, you know, I never leaned in. I always ran away from anything in the LGBTQ plus community as I was closeted, because I just didn't want to be called out. So like for me to walk into that, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. And you know, it was very much like a welcome, but also, you know, get your shit together. And I was like, oh, this is like a very motherly like way you're going about all of this. It was intense. I think, you know, I obviously was going through a lot even during the taping of that show, but also just like all of those emotions and all of those feelings were so real. And it was,
well, you're right. Life. Reverend Nicole Garcia is mother.
Yes.
She's great. And I know she has, and Ross could correct me after this. I think she has a new, I'm so proud of her too. She has a new gig. She's doing incredibly an important work, a leader in our community.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One of the things you mentioned, you know, not wanting to having to confront being LGBTQ and running from everything from it. But there was a moment that I was so curious about how you felt in that moment when Billy Eichner came on The Bachelor. Yeah. And said, you know, you might be the first gay bachelor. Did your stomach drop in that moment? Because if I was in your shoes, I would have been like, who told him?
Yeah, I mean, totally. That's like a closeted man's worst nightmare, is a gay man standing in front of you being like, you should look into being gay. That's literally what he's talking about. Like, you know, and that obviously just confused me even more, where I'm like, oh, wait, is it acceptable? But like, no, I can't. I'm on this show now. And it's like, you're too late. And it just was a confusing time for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're from the Midwest, so am I. I'm from Indiana, and you're from Illinois.
I was born in Indiana, so.
Oh, hey, yeah. Nice. Hey. I was born in Michigan, so. Got I was it. Raised in Indiana. But, you, so I know the mentality, and, you know, watching Coming Out Colton, and you talking to your friends from church, and being so concerned about them accepting you, I'm curious, where are they at now? Have they moved more affirming? Or have they kind of stayed in their beliefs that, you know, being gay is a sin?
You know, it played out in the episode, it true to how it is in real life. Like, you never really got that answer. You never really got the like, oh yeah, they do think it's a sin. They sort of rode the fence. And I mean, there's a part of me that's very understanding. I'm a very patient guy, especially for, you know, people in, you know, the Midwest and in the middle of our country. But it's very much how a lot of Christians operate, and with, especially with structured and organized religion, is they like to ride that fence where they're like, I promise I'm loving, you know. And Danny, to your point of like being gay makes you a better Christian, it's like they ride that fence of like, well, I love them and I appreciate them. And then on the other side of their mouth, they're like, but it's a sin and they're wrong and they're going to hell and they're going to burn forever. Like, you know, we sort of let, as Christians, we let other Christians get away with that, where they can ride that fence. They don't have to give you a straight answer. And I just, like, I don't know. I just wish that more people could challenge, you know, those thoughts and push back a little bit.
that's what we try to do here on the show. And we talk about churchclarity.org too, which is a place that you can go to and find an affirming church and find out how the church is registered. Because sometimes, you know, they're seemingly affirming and they'll let you hold your hand and let you put your pink money in the collection plate, but then deep down won't let you like rise to roles of leadership, or your children won't be able to go to their preschool or whatever the situation is, or they're talking about you differently in rooms that you're not in. And I really feel like what we need is our allies like that actually, like, you know, really do love us to take stands in rooms that we're not in. I think that's what it's going to change to move religion, because the gay is, once we hear that you're not affirming, we're like, peace, we're out, we'll find another church, bye, or we'll pray at home, it's okay. But I think that, like, it's the allies that are hanging out with us like all week long, and then on Sundays are going there and maybe, you know, turning a blind eye to someone saying something about us and thinking that's on them, not on me. It's not how I feel. But you're worshiping and you're contributing and your community feels that way. So I think that it's going to take a lot of them to make a stand for us, to make any kind of change. And unfortunately and fortunately, churches are like bubbles. They're like groups. They're tight knit. People don't want to make waves within that situation. But, you know, I'm really hopeful about this new generation. I'm really hopeful about the children that you're going to raise. And like, and that's the generation, you know, gays are going to have children and those kids are going to have whole families that are all going to be affirming. And, you know, like, if our agenda is anything, it is spreading a peaceful, loving community of people that won't be judgmental towards anyone. And I think that's inspiring to me about how
amen, like, to that.
On one of your recent episodes of Daddyhood, you had the CEO of Family Quality on, and she was talking about what Danny was just talking about, you know, being, we need allies that are in the room to advocate for us. If I recall correctly, she touched on that. And some of the other things you talk about on Daddyhood is some of the things that you will learn about, because it was really good. Listen, I'm not on the path to Daddyhood. I'm
on a different path to Daddyhood.
Yes. I'm just coming into my dad bod and accepting that. Your type of Daddyhood is not where I'm at, but I'm learning a lot on it. And yes, Jesuits, we encourage you to check it out, especially if you're on the path to Daddyhood like Colton is. You know, you're going to learn a lot, especially about sperm count and fertilization and how men are often the problem when it comes to not being fertile and how you can become more fertile.
Go, do you want kids?
I am open to adopting. I love the idea of a little Azariah running around and causing chaos. But I don't know. I would adopt. I don't feel good about bringing someone into the world, but I feel good about someone who's already here and giving them a home and
oh yeah, I'm not giving these flat feet to anybody. Like, I want to raise a really good ballerina. Honey, you're going to do the things I can't do because of these genetics.
I love it. But see, that's what's beautiful about this too. And even on Daddyhood, you know, we have people from, you know, the foster care system coming on. We have sperm donors, we have egg donors, we have surrogates. We're telling this from, you know, one thing that I've learned in my coming out experience, especially with the show, is I have an opportunity, I have a platform to lift up other people's voices in marginalized communities. So that's what my role and responsibility is. You know better, you do better. I learned the hard way with Netflix, and like, I was in over my head. I was in like a personal survival mode just for me. So now I have this opportunity. You know, I just had, you know, Francesca Ferrargo and her husband, Jesse, who is a trans man, on, and just, you know, talking to them about their story and what they've gone through, and just trying, you know, to advocate and humanize the trans experience in all of this as well, because of
stories. Just tell the stories of parenthood. What does that mean? Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. What does that look like for everyone? Like, that's what we try to do here on about faith. You know, we've talked to all different types of people from all different types of walks of life, and interviewed a gay rabbinical student in his yeshiva in Jerusalem. Like, you know, we want to have all kinds of stories out there. And I feel like that is so important, what you're doing. I love that you've taken your platform and you've been able to take the light that God has shown on you and your family, and you're using that light to to reflect it out to other people so they can bask in it when they feel like they're not getting light. It is a super prismatic light. We always talk about how little those little, you know, little lasers are that are hit, but they're hitting corners that don't get light. And people need to have this conversation, especially since we're dealing with, you know, the Alabama and all these other places where all this stuff is going on right now, the IVF stuff and everything. It's like, you know, we need to humanize the vote. We need to humanize the coffee table, the water cooler chatter, because it's not just a group, you know, they want to paint us like an enemy. Without anyone knowing us, you know, people who have skin in the game, people who have an LGBTQ plus, person in their life that they love dearly, know the story somewhat, but no one could live in it. And you're talking to people that are living through it and what their stories are, and hearing those perspectives are so important. You know, I learned that from doing stand-up. Like, I don't want to go see like an Italian Christian gay bear like tell, like get up there and tell me his comedy. Like, if anything, I'd be jealous. I want to see like the Midwestern, you know, a kindergarten teacher.
We can learn from each other. That's what I think is important.
Exactly. I want to hear, we need to find out what the stories are. If I don't want to sit around in a group of like-minded people,
that's what I was going to say. How boring would our world be is if everybody thought the same way, said the same thing, did the same thing, dressed the same way. Like, that's a pretty boring time. Like, we need diversity. We need people to show up as their authentic self. And the only way to do that is from everybody being empowered and in a position to feel safe to be their authentic self, myself included. Like,
question and wonder.
Right. And I've always, like, it took me 2 years to find my place in our community. And now that I found it, I'm like, pedal to the metal. Let's go. I have like roles and responsibilities now. I have a lot of, you know, middle America gays that need help coming out.
Well, listen to me right now, Colin. That is a jewel in your crown, truthfully, because you could have just said, I got it. I found the end of the rainbow. Now I'm going to go off grid and I'm going to do my thing. I mean, my husband's going to blah, blah. But instead, you are extending the olive branch and like and bringing other people to their peace. And it's such a good thing, man. And well, I just really wanted to tell you. I'm telling you, you're vibrating at your highest frequency right now.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, look, I had, you know, Pastor Nicole, Jeff Jenkins, Pastor Ben, you know, all of these people brought me, Gus Kenworthy, like all of these people brought me. I mean, Ross, yes. I mean, everyone that lent a hand in some sort of positive way, even I'll say some of like the louder negative voices still helped me figure my stuff out one way or another. But like, it took a sense of community to like help me. And now it's like I can help build that community for other people, and that's what I want to do.
Good. And you've said that your target audience really is the middle America type person.
Yeah.
Being a middle America person, what do you mean by that?
I say that a lot, and I don't think it does justice. I think it is people who are in, I don't know what the right word is, a marginalized deserts where like there isn't a lot of diversity.
That's a good way to put it.
Where yeah. They're in a town that does not have representation of anything other than
like a diversity desert. Yeah, like a diversity desert. Yeah.
That is what I mean by like middle America. Like in middle America, it could be Alaska, it could be Hawaii, it could be what, like whatever just is sort of that cultural desert that does not have a lot of representation is what I mean by that. And also I just observed, I could be off in saying this, but like I observed after my coming out, there's not a lot of people in our community that are willing to be patient, slow and kind with those types of people. Unfortunately, like, you know, even like the people who vote for Trump, like I'm willing to be patient and slow and chill and engage in hopefully a respectful back and forth. Whereas like that might not be in everybody's cards. And I think there's plenty of time for protest and, you know, raising voices. That's just not me. So that's sort of what I mean by that.
Well, God bless you, Colton.
Colton, you've always had an entrepreneurial spirit and you've been willing to put yourself out there in so many ways. It's difficult to be vulnerable all the time. And you don't always get the response that you want, but it's helpful for people to learn from your life and experience. And that even goes back to your NFL and Bachelor days, but it's even more true with coming out, Colton, and now daddyhood. We just want to really thank you for really putting yourself out there.
Oh, I appreciate it. And it's just like, I don't know, I've really taken the mantras, if you do what you're like passionate about, it doesn't feel like work. And I think I mean, obviously reality people can say that. It's like that it was just following me and my journey was wild and rocky and up and down. And now hopefully this can be a little more joyous and still educational and informational, but it's a different type of vulnerability that I'm having instead of like the, you know, the raw moments that the Netflix show caught. This one's a little bit more like, here's what it takes to go into the family building. So a little more joyous, hopefully.
Well, an act of joy we do. Like, so every week our listeners, we do a tithe / love offering / charity moment / act of good. And we're excited to recommend something that's connected to you in a personal way.
Mm.
Yes. Tell us about the very handsome Colton Underwood Legacy Foundation.
I'm so proud. When I first opened that foundation, it was a charity out of Illinois, and it was designed to support the children's hospital there. So it was like a regional small charity. And then obviously I went on Bachelor and it started getting like national recognition and having national programs attached to it. So we were playing catch up from the beginning. And now we have a bill in front of Congress that's bipartisan. It's been introduced in both the House and the Senate, called the TEAMS Act, targeting emotional and mental stability. And I'm just proud of the work that we're doing now in the mental health space. I think it's so needed, not only for people in our community, but for the athlete, like all of the communities I'm a part of. I think that's what's beautiful is I've been able to find my lane in every single community that I belong to, whether it's the athletic community, our Christian community, our queer community, the entertainment community, all of these different angles, I've found a way to like bridge them together. And my foundation supports mental health resources for college athletes. And what a perfect time for me to be involved in this, just because college athletes and college students alone are figuring themselves out. And it's hard and it's tricky. Social media has made it difficult. The money that's now in college sports have made it difficult. So I'm really proud of the work that we're doing.
Good. Well, you heard him. Yes, Jesuits. Check out coltonslegacy.org. God bless you, you handsome child of God.
Now, listeners, you may have followers, but if your followers are not actively engaging with each other, learning from each other, and vibrating regularly on their highest frequency, man, then you don't have a community. So please reach out to us. We just want to know who you are, and we want to feel your presence. Now, Colton Underwood, are you open to starting us off in prayer?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. Well, we would like to know, what's your prayer for the LGBTQ community?
My prayer would be that everyone finds peace, balance, love, and respect in their life, and that they keep leading their most authentic life to inspire generations way beyond their imagination.
Amen to that. We want to also share with you guys that we have more drag queen prayers. Yash Jesus was at RuPaul's Drag Con in London, and while we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine queens. And today we're going to open our prayer segment with a prayer offering by the one and only Candy Muse.
I pray that for the LGBTQ community this year, we become more accepting of each other's choices. Sometimes we like to judge other people for living a certain lifestyle or being friends with certain people. And I think, you know, we can't change people. So all we have to do is just let them live their life authentically, however that may be. It may not be your cup of tea, but we need to start letting people just be them. Amen.
Thank you, Candy Muse. Please bow your heads unless you're driving, because Jesus can't actually take the wheel. God, we give you thanks for your beloved child, your servant, your evangelist, Colton. We thank you that he continues to learn and grow, and by doing so is helping us learn and grow alongside him. You've gifted him with a wide range of talents and a love for the rest of your creation. Guide him, protect him, and continue to make him a blessing to everyone that he meets. Bless his family, his husband, and bless all his future children and grandchildren.
And we pray for one of your favorite children and one of our favorite Yes Jesuits, Sugar Daddy Nathaniel, and his upcoming surgery. God, we ask that you calm his nerves about the surgery, guide the doctors and nurses, and above all, that the surgery be successful and healing. Bless and keep Nathaniel a part of the Yes Jesus community for a long, long time. And we also want to give thanks and praise for the pets that bring us joy, such as my little Luna, wherever she is right now. Thank you for Kelly's cat and for all our cats and dogs and fish and iguanas and whatever else you've got out there. In the many names that you are, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have mine right here too.
Yeah, what's that pup's name?
Scout.
That's Scout.
Scout! We thank you for Scout, and we thank you, Colton. We thank you for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you like the show, please support us with a donation. We've set up a Patreon account where you become a supporter. And you can also make a one-time donation through our Buy Me a Coffee button, and information how to do both of those things are in our show notes and on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you ain't got no money, honey, don't worry about it. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars, my friend. Share us with one of your friends. Help us spread Yash Jesus to others who might need to hear it.
You can now leave an audio prayer request or praise report on our website, yashjesuspod.com. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show, so drop us a line or send us a recording on yasjesuspod.com.
That's right. Go to yasjesuspod.com and you could record a praise report or a prayer request. You could leave us an episode idea. Leave us a little note about a guest idea. Tell us who you want to see on the show. Or even just a, will you be my daddy? We'd love to hear that. We'd love to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Daddy Danny Franzese, and...
Can I Be Your Son, Azariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the Freakin' Deacon Ross Murray and Lady Boss Meredith Polly. Our sugar daddies are Nathaniel N. and John H. And we want you to join them. Visit the Yash Jesus Patreon right now.
This episode is brought to you by World of Wonder. And we are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And honey, don't you dare forget, God loves you just as you are.
Keep praising the Lord, y'all.